Season five, episode one. It's crazy, bro. We've done four. We've done four seasons of this podcast.
Something like 160 episodes, something like that.
But what's the magic number? When do we get to celebrate?
You know why we should celebrate?
206.
Because we have 206. We have random bot company people asking us for favors, which are making it look like they're doing us favors. I don't know who's actually getting the favor, but it started with the Wisdom app reaching out to me. Wisdom app hasn't, and that someone would actually want to pay for my wisdom because of, I forget if it was because of Decoded or because of Chasing Squirrels. I think it was Chasing Squirrels. I forget which one it was.
Squirrels. We've been hit with both. Got hit with Squirrels. We got hit with Decoded, but I don't check the email all the time. So
It is. So we've arrived. We've arrived
at the box.
It took 160 somewhat episodes, probably 200, some maybe close to 220, maybe 230 hours of reflective practice, an invaluable contribution to Big E education.
Big Eddie.
Big Eddie.
We'll just call it Big EDU, be now called Big Eddie.
Yeah, Big Eddie. We've done our contribution. We can coast now. We could totally flip this into our sort of more just pure food talk and antiques roadshow kind of a conversation. Like we'll talk about, I don't know, let's talk about barbecue ribs for 2 hours.
That wouldn't be such a bad thing, you know.
Somebody out there would make a connection to Big Eddie for us. They're like, oh, this totally reminds me of, yeah, when you're talking about slow cooking ribs and then making the sauce and then sort of, you know, watching the flame on the barbecue when you're heating it up, that totally reminds me of the amount of time it takes me to prep a course and then some of the fun activities that I put in there, but how it's all really delicate and you don't want to run the class too hot or too hard because, you know, you might just get burned. And then we're just going to, you know, we'll get that in the feedback and we'll say, well, no, we're just talking about ribs. But we're happy to, you know, connect you to Big Eddie.
Big Eddie. I like that. That'd be the name of the barbecue place.
It could. Well, Big Eddie's. That actually kind of works, eh?
Yeah.
We got a lot of product. I love it. There we start off the new season with a new product to offer. Big Eddie's Barbecue. Subsidiary of Shack Outback Industries.
What are our Empathy Engines?
Empathy Engines that's our wearables. And then we have the Bitter Pill Kombucha. There's a few that like again over the, I'm sure there's other. Oh yeah. What was it? Smell My Beard? Manscaping products. See, that works well now because if we can actually see, we can product test at Big Eddie's. We can product test the actual sauces and seasonings that ultimately will be part of the actual fragrances for our Smell My Beard line of men's products, right? And I think the more that you diversify like this, but diversify internally, right? We're innovating inside the box. I heard that from Big Eddie one time, the innovating inside the box, especially when you don't have any actual resources to develop anything, right? So... it's awesome. Can I say something that's kind of funny to me?
Go for it.
So that it's funny to me because it was, I guess it was remarkable because I had a moment. I've started to use paper again.
What do you mean?
Like in just school, in general? In teaching. Oh. Well, like in school and teaching.
So old school.
It's so funny, eh? I learned that from Big Eddie. So the, every year, I find myself trying to find efficiencies for everything, everything. And sometimes efficiencies for me, it's ridiculous. It's like, yeah, I think I'm going to put the white erase markers on the right side of the board this year. That could save me some time. So I go through this process of like actually moving through my classroom. And I told you in Polos, you know, when I got the classroom that I'm teaching out of, I spent, you know, an afternoon, I just sat in the chair, sort of looking at the room, kind of imagining what I would do with the room. You know, playing the game tape that I don't have yet, Phantom game tape. How will this room benefit my kids? How will it benefit my practice? How will it be a representation of learning? And I just sat there and I thought it through. And one of the things that I do when I do that, I also imagine how I move through the space, how I'm going to use the space, how the space is going to sort of use me, because that does happen sometimes, right? So this process and gets a little bit messy, and sometimes you have to just turn it off, right? It's like, okay, it's time to commit and actually start using something. And in the past, I've played with different methods of note-taking. And so my communication log, I've used so many different styles, bud. Like, it's just, I definitely have commitment issues with my communication logs. And just this year, it was funny. I had a bunch of, when I first walked into the classroom, as I was culling and throwing stuff out, because it was stuff that was left behind and, you know, giving stuff away, repurposing, all that kind of stuff, I found a stack of just lined paper, no hole punch on it. And it's in a pad, so you sort of tear off the things. So I put that on a clipboard and I started to use it just for my note-taking checklist as I went in there. I often use Google Keep as my kind of to-do checklist. So I'll transfer anything that's on paper or post a note to that to-do checklist, because I don't always need to have my notes with me, like all the notes that I take, but I like to have that checklist because if I have a minute, I'll just pull it open and say, you know, what do I need to take care of this week? And each Google Keep checklist is just for the work week. I only use it for that. So the 5-day week. So I always know kind of where I am in it. But those notes, I thought to myself, you know what? I'll start doing, I found a nice slim binder. The binder clasps work great. They're nice and strong. I found some page dividers that still had, they're the plastic page dividers, not the old school, you know, the multicolored ones that are all paper that we bought. I forget, Barrel. I don't know what the company is, but those ones that we would always get, there'd be like 3 sets of 5 in there. You get 15 of them. I found these dividers that actually had reinforced the holes, had that little bit of plastic on it to reinforce it. Those are premium. And I found in another drawer all the little rectangular pieces of paper. So, bro, I'm not having to cut these little pieces of paper to slide into the plastic divider. So you see it, right? I got into the kind of mode, wasted a lot of time, but I was like, this works. So now I have this like 1-inch binder. I have my communication notes organized and it's on paper. And I sat there looking at it. Actually, dude, look at it. It's right here. There's the kit. There's the kit right there. So there's my because I have some notes I have to move over. And as I'm putting this into the, here's the thing, my end of day, pack up laptop, put it in backpack, leave. Now it's pack up laptop, grab my paper binder and put it in my backpack. And this is new for me. You're laughing. You should be laughing. But I've come full circle with this. Like, how ridiculous is this? I'm actually excited about using paper for communication notes again. There's kind of things that I've learned. There's things that I thought were truths about notes when I first started teaching that I sort of assumed that would be notes about communication logs when I first started teaching. And then there's stuff that I've learned along the way that I've sort of, you know, kind of challenged, and it was kind of a truth. And I realized that ultimately, where I kind of land on that is that the communication binder has to work for me. It does it as long as I can explain my system. All you new teachers listening to our podcast, as long as the system works for you and you can explain the system, that's it. There's no template. It's just the one that you develop. And it's funny, 16 years now into my career, I've come back to a 1-inch binder. Kind of funny, eh? I don't know.
Well, I'm laughing. I shouldn't though, because in my laptop bag, I also have a book and a pen. And this week, as I've been working with the computers, I've also been taking notes in the book. So I'm laughing at you because you're disclosing this, and I'm not. Well, I just did, but before that, I'm laughing because you're like, yeah, I'm back in the paper, and I'm like, I shouldn't laugh because I've still got paper. you know,
specifically for this task though, dude, because I am a paper guy. Like I like, you know, like
I know you do. You love paper.
Yeah, I love paper, and I do have. I have a very specific
tree killer,
like my own. What's that?
Tree killer.
Yeah, I know. It's all recycled paper, but I actually have a very specific. Like this is my like when I journal for myself. This is the one that I use. Like so, I have always searched for this one, and the funny thing is. I'll show you. So I start this. It looks like this because my year is September to September. I kind of parallel my life with school. I just find it's kind of easier. So this is where this starts in September. This is where it ends by the end of September.
Wow. So you tape stuff in there, you glue stuff in there. Is that what you do to...
It's birthday cards that I'm given. It's drawings that I do. It's when I go to an event that I want to take, you know, notes from, poetry that I write. Like this is, you know what this is?
Spit it this out, bro.
Baby, this is the found footage. So when I disappear, people are going back through this and like, oh my gosh, he was giving us clues all along. Yeah.
How many years?
This was last year. I was looking at it the other day, so I don't have the elastic around it. So I have about 8 of these right now. I'm starting number 9. And some of them are smaller. Like my first one that I did, this is the first one that I did. It's a very teeny tiny one. Check out the sticker.
Hey, it's Shref.
Shref's on my year one ago journal.
This is going to be good to see if Shref listens to us anymore.
Shref, I know. He's a busy guy, eh?
Dude, I think he's an assistant principal now.
He is.
He's moving on up, and I know he's podcasting still and stuff. Shref is like our, I don't know what to call Shref. He's an honorary member, I guess.
He is. He's a part of it. He's on Big Eddie's team.
Oh, he's Big Eddie. He's Big Eddie's team for sure.
So I'm back to paper. That's why it's funny. It's funny. I'm back to paper as far as my practice at school, you know. That binder that I'm using, there's a divider for each student. And then I have one divider that's just my big ideas. So anything I'm just kind of scribbling, pull the sheet off, put it in there. I have a highlighting system that I use just so that I can look at it easily and find things like different colors mean different things. So as I'm kind of going through, one color is sort of like long range, big ideas. Some are short range. So I have, I have my different highlighter pack in my backpack now that I'm carrying too. Back to paper, baby.
Right on. I'm not that surprised you're a paper guy because I know that you do the drawings and the journaling and stuff. I didn't know that you had like one for every year that looked like it had exploded.
Mm-hmm. It does too. That. Like that's, I have to put the elastic on the outside by the end of the year, right? It's usually about 3 to 4 months in. It's you start to see it doesn't really what's nice is that it's a flexible cover on it. And the binding through the back spine is pretty strong, which is good. The paper's okay. If I could give the company a suggestion, they need to do a little bit of work on their paper. But you know, 8 out of 10, I gotta keep getting this thing. But that's awesome. It is the found footage.
I'm not even sure what to say after that. Like, I'm not sure where to go. That was excellent. For all our listeners who are paper lovers, you know, they're feeling it. You know, like my wife enjoys stationery items.
Mm-hmm.
She likes good pens. She loves that stuff too. And I think... as we've moved forward into more of a digital age, that stuff's kind of, it's on the back burner, but there's nothing like if she were to see that and hear about this and see your process of drawing when we're talking and stuff, she could relate. She has always loved that stuff. Me, you know what? I've got negative attachments because those things I would use for school. And every year it was like the tradition of, let's get you your new pencils. Let's get you all your new stuff for school. Then I go to school and I would not succeed And so I guess anything connected to that lack of success or those traumatizing moments are just kind of like, put those aside. I don't need those. I don't want to deal with that. But I have to say that that's kind of shifted, like especially with reading for me. Reading mm-hmm. for pleasure has sort of come into the fold. I'm much more open to doing that. Still, it's reading, you know, it's reading nonfiction is more my thing than fiction. But I'm not averse. If we can find a good fiction book for me, I'll read it. So is it okay with you if we shift gears a little bit?
Pivot!
So over the last four seasons, mm-hmm. we have talked here and there about emergency procedures as being parents, being dads, having kids that have to go to school, and then being adults that have to go to work. Mm-hmm. You know, you could wake up and there could be an emergency and you have to deal with the emergency. So you have to have like an emergency plan, right? Or a backup plan. So I had a situation that I'd like to discuss.
Yep.
On the first day of school where I was actually going to be face to face with the people on the new team that I belong to, mm-hmm. I had a problem. I had an emergency. On the very first day that we were supposed to be, that we were meeting face to face. So wake up, everything's going well. The kids are good to go to school. I drop off my son at high school. Then I drop off my son at the elementary school. And I was returning home to pick up the stuff that I wanted to take with me to meet my new coworkers. And as I turn the corner onto my street, I'm now driving slower. And all I hear is clunk, 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 clunk. And I knew right away what that was. I knew that something was stuck to one of the tires. And I did not feel good about it. So I pull in the driveway, get out of the car, and start walking around the car to inspect the tires. And lo and behold, there is a screw about that long. So it's punctured the tire. There's a screw in my tire. And I guess however I picked it up, the clunking, you're going to love this, the clunking was the sound of the tire hitting the ground, and then as the tire hit the ground, the screw was pushed in more and more and more every clunk, right? But I could still see there was like this much hanging out. And I literally went like this. I'm like, no, not today. So I go into the house. I have 1 hour before my meeting. 1 hour. So I'm like, well, there's air in the tire at the moment. So if I need to get my car somewhere to get this fixed, that's doable because the air is not out of my tire yet. And here's one of the thing with this type of situation is you don't know how fast you're going to lose air. I don't know if that screw is twisted in there in a way that it's nothing's coming out, but I mean, it's not good. It's not good. Just keep driving on it. Or the air is coming out with every minute that passes. Mm-hmm. So I run into the house. The first place I called was Canadian Tire. And they're like, yeah, we can help you at 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock today. I'm like, dude, it's a 10-minute fix. You can't give me 15, 20 minutes. I roll the car in. The human that's going to fix the tire doesn't just get like it's, I know how to fix it, but I don't have the material or the time or the expertise like someone who does this every day. So I'm like, you can't. He's like, no, I can't do it. I said, okay, book me in for 3. He's like, okay. And then I'm sitting there and I'm told, then I emailed my team and I'm like, listen, I know we're meeting in an hour, but I have a situation. It's a transportation situation. So I may not be there to start. I'm looking into fixing this rather than later. They both responded like, no problem. Take your time. Like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Then it just hit me. Down the street, there is an automotive shop. It's like a mom-pa shop. So I'm like, you know what? They're going to be busy because every automotive place is busy, but I'm going to call and see. So I call. I'm like, they literally just opened. I'm like, listen, this is my problem. There's a screw in the tire. As I'm talking to you, I don't know if there's any air left in the tire, but if I can get my car to your shop, can you help? She goes, it's a 10-minute job. Like, that's what she said. She goes, if it's just a screw in the tire, it's a 10-minute fix. I'm like, that's what I wanted to hear. What time do you want me there? She's like, can you be here in 30 minutes? I'm like, done. I'll see you. Hang up the phone, get all my gear together for work, go out to the car. There's still air in the tire.
Good.
Yeah. Get my car to the shop. I walk in. The lady's like, no biggie. We'll bring your car. And people were dropping their cars off to be left there for service. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I can't leave my car. I need my car. I need to be at work as soon as I can be at work. She's like, no problem. I come in, give them the keys. They pull the car in, and I can see all this happening. And they pull the car in. They get out. They come look at the tire. They can see it right away. And it was, I guess, the way that the car was pulled in. They just got lucky. The orientation of the tire was that the screw was right there in front of them. They could just do all the work without even having to put my car on a hoist or whatever. So she goes, okay, it'll be done in 10 minutes. 10 minutes later, I've got my keys. I've paid. I get to work a couple of minutes before the meeting's supposed to start. And my partners are like, what's going on? I'm like, it's all good. It's all good. It got fixed. They're like, how did you get it fixed? And so I explain. They're like, that's awesome. And I'm literally dying inside. That it just hits me that now my car is my office. My car. I need my car. Like before, I could have just begged someone. I could have, you know what? If I was still working at the school I was working at, I literally could have gotten on my bike and rode to work. It would have taken me 15, 20 minutes, but I would have gotten to work for the bell. That's how crazy that is. I would have been able to get to work still. But now my job, I'm working at different schools all the time. So I need the car. I need the tires to be well, you know? And it brought me a little bit of anxiety thinking, what happens if one day my car needs a repair or something? What do I do? And it's like, well, I don't. That's not my situation now, so I'm not going to give it any more thought. But
see, I would argue it's good to give it thought. You're not willing it into existence, right? And I think this is sometimes the trap when we fall into with emergency plans. And I mean, part of it is maybe it's just the fact we call them emergency plans. Why not just call them plans, right? Because that's how life works, right? We call them emergency plans because we like to sort of be able to push them to the shelf and say they'll never happen. But if we just call them plans, then you know you've got them in place for, like, you put it this way. I'm sure right now, actually, as of last year, I'm pretty sure you leaving your plans on your desk in the case that you woke up sick the next day was no longer an emergency. It was process, right? It was no different than checking that the chairs are pushed in, checking that, you know, your whiteboard is erased, whatever that is. It all just becomes part of the process. It becomes part of the work. So it's no longer an outlier. It no longer inflames you. It no longer sort of lights you up. And I'll go one step further. I'm going to guess that probably those plans never really were that far from your desk, so that if you needed to tell someone, it should be dead center of my desk. But if not, it's right on the left side beside the monitor. So they'll be one of those two places. But that's the power of just making good plans. And I think also embracing, it's not a what if. There's no what if in this. It's the what is. And you've said it. Your office now is your office. Your extended office now is your vehicle. So now you change priorities, right? Now you might have a process where at the end of the day, you're just taking one extra look at the tires. At the end of the day, you're just checking, do I have enough gas, right? This becomes the process. It's no longer emergency. It's a shifting of priorities. And it was funny because with your job shift, I was curious about what your, because you and I have had for the last 4 years, very similar bags of work and very similar emergency plans. And I feel in a lot of ways, both of ours are diversifying now because of our changed portfolios. And the way that my school board now is sort of set up with our hybrid learning, I have to look very differently at what my plans are. The plans that the plans that I would use, my plans that I would use if I am not able to attend work that day. So I'm wondering, it's a small thing, but maybe we need to shift away from that emergency plans jargon and just call it, these are the plans that are used if I'm not here. It's still my plan. It's still the class plan. It's just the plan without me being in direct connection with it. So yeah, I dig this. I like this because I think there's value to thinking it through. Because there's no assurance that it will happen. There's no assurance it won't happen. But wouldn't you like to have a plan? I like that you said you could ride your bike before.
I could. I could get on my bike and I could ride to work.
Yeah.
But I can't do that anymore. So I guess, this is a tough one. It's a tough one. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm not going to. There's a couple of things I could do, but I guess worse comes to worse. Car won't start, or got a flat tire. The cool thing is that before I would have, now I don't, if I need to call in a supply, I don't have to call it. I never need a substitute teacher for the job I'm doing. It's not necessary. I just can't be where I'm supposed to be. Which sucks, but I felt a relief of, well, I'm going to be late for a meeting, but I'm not going to be late to deal with a classroom full of kids. Mm-hmm. And there was some relief there, because that panic of, I can't get to work, that initial, I need to fix this or else I'm going to be stranded. Like, I could have driven to work. But then I would have had to deal with this at the end of the day. How do I get my car home? Where am I? If I can get air in the tire and it'll stay in, where am I taking the car? And it's going to disrupt. It was going to be a disruption regardless. Is the disruption going to happen at the beginning of this problem or at the end of this problem? It's one or the other. It's going to happen. And I chose to have it disrupt the morning rather than the afternoon. But again, I didn't want to be stranded, right? I didn't want my car somewhere else and have this issue.
What I love in this is that you have a plan now. That's all I just keep. That's all my brain just, I'm like, do it as a plan.
I don't know but it's a plan.
No, absolutely. So here's the thing though. You now have a relationship with this small garage.
Yes, 100%.
And so I told them. See, that's the plan. That's the thing that wasn't there before. You now have that.
I told that lady, I said to her, listen, and I did one of these, like I was pointing at her. I said, listen, this is going to go far now. She's like, what do you mean? I said, who do you think I'm going to call the next time I have an issue with my car? And she smiled. She was wearing a mask, but I could tell by her eyes she was smiling. Yep. I said, I really appreciate this. Like, you guys did me a solid. You did. I said, I called Canadian Tire. They wouldn't even. They're like 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock. I'm like, dude, it's a 10-minute job. 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock. So I said to her, I can really appreciate coming to your place. And, you know, I know you guys, I see all the cars out there. I know you guys are loaded for the day, but you could take 10 minutes. You're going to fix somebody else's car. It's going to take 3 hours. So, okay, it's good. That car is gone for half a day. Nobody's expecting that car to be ready until like 2 o'clock today. So you can afford to give me 10 minutes to fix my simple repair. And she's like, well, really glad we could help. And I said, well, I'm going to lean on this. The next time I need something, I'm going to call and say, hey, it's me again, the tire guy. Can you help me? And it was funny, like, I didn't ask what it would cost. I was just like, tell me what I owe you. I'm not in a position.
You know what you're asking for. You know exactly what you're asking for. So you sort of say to yourself, in this particular case, I need it fixed more than I need to save money.
Well, 100%.
Right? So
100%.
I love it. I love this story. It just, I do. I love it. It reminds me, remember, it's sort of like the, when I was, I mentioned to you about when I was going on the trip and me working through my thinking because I had a moment where I thought I had forgotten my medication at home. And I was working through you know, the easier plan would be, let's turn around and go back or pull over, which would, you know, bruise my ego. And that's a, I'll admit it. That's a thing sometimes, you know, hard to deal with. So this was not unlike yours. Yours was not of your making, the mistake, the error, the breakdown. Mine was. But I think the process is similar, as in you're working through what's the plan if this is in fact a problem that's going to extend into the day. So I was trying to project through, who do I talk to when I get to my destination so that I can get a temporary amount of medication. It did so happen that one of the coffee stops I was able to check, and I was able to correct and, you know, make the difference. But it's, you don't, you know, even when we took that trip, I was working through, well, it isn't a, I shifted from what happens if, that's a really, for me, it's become a bad way to create plans. I don't spend so much time on what happens if. It's anxiety inducing. It's distracting, and it sometimes keeps me from going to where I need to be. Whereas, so when the car tire, if I blow a car tire, do I know how to change that tire? Do I know how to use my mobile phone to call someone? Do I know how to organize my family if we're going to stay at the side of the road? Do I know how to access my funds? Like, these are the sort of functional pieces of planning. And I find more peace being there. And I'm actually, you know, maybe we talk about this next week. I've really shifted away from the what if in classroom management, in communication with parents, in sort of professional development. And I'll go back to me using paper. I didn't deal with the what if, you know, well, what if I need to access my communication notes and I've left the binder at work? Well, there's no what if there. The answer is keep the binder in my backpack when I leave work. Like, that's the clear, simple, sort of straight solution. And I'm trying to get more and more to those spaces, I think. Because I actually do kind of enjoy, I've realized more and more I enjoy making plans. But I'm trying to take the superlatives off it, like, you know, emergency plans, or, you know, in case of getting hurt plans, like trying to take that off. It's just plans. And I totally look forward to the conversation when you have another version of one of these, because this one, as you said, was like meetings with colleagues. So you can professionally negotiate when that meeting would reoccur. I'm looking forward to your plans when you've spent a month setting up and structuring different systems. And then you have a day when you're not able to participate in that. And I'm not talking about automation here. I think when it comes back to relationships and your efficacy with the tools that you have. So how do you reach out and communicate with the people? How do you reorganize? How do you maintain momentum? And sometimes that's an important thing too, especially if some of the deliverables that you have are deadlined in a way that, you know, the thing just has to be done. So I dig it.
You reminded me when you talked about my classroom, and mm-hmm. you're so right about my emergency plans. Literally, at the end of the day, I had a process. Mm-hmm. Close the binder, move it over, grab the plans, put them right there. Mm-hmm. And I've over the years, I've been saved by that process. You mm-hmm. know, I've woken up sick, or I've woken up and my kids were sick, and I'm like, well, I guess I can't go to work, but everything's ready, mm-hmm. you know, for someone to walk in. And it was, you know, a real pain to get that system built of those mm-hmm. plans, because there were plans within plans within plans. Like, if it's Tuesday, these three things could happen. So be prepared mm-hmm. for these three things. Yep. If it's a Friday, be prepared for this or this to occur. If there's an assembly, then take out whatever's there in the time of the assembly and then move. Like, it was all there. Mm-hmm. And I took pride in those plans, because there was a lot of doing everything I could to provide the person coming in no doubt about what they needed to do.
Supported. In
order to survive. Yeah.
They were supported.
There was even if you don't understand this, go talk to this person.
Yep.
Right? It was like, here are the EAs that come into my room. If it changes, talk to the EA. Talk to, you know, Miss Jones and see Miss Jones. I'm new here. Your name's not on my list. What's going on? Oh, so-and-so got pulled or whatever. Like, be a human. Talk to people. Figure it out. It was all in there. And right now that I don't have one of those right now. But you're right. I mean, with the car and stuff, anything could happen. I could wake up and my kids could be sick. I could be, we're still in this COVID pandemic.
Yeah.
Wake up and I could do my screening and fail.
Yep.
And then I guess I'm emailing my boss and where else, wherever I'm supposed to be that day and say, I'm not coming. So proceed with your day. Or here's a good thing too about the COVID. If I need to connect with students, if I need to connect with guidance counselors, if I need to connect with admin, I can do it all from my computer. Like there's that now, there's that option now that, hey, I'm not coming to your school today because I failed my COVID screening. I need to find out what's going on with me, but we can still meet at 9 a.m. It's just going to be a Teams meeting. I'm not going to be there face to face because I'm not supposed to be in your building. I'm not supposed to be anywhere until I figure out what's wrong with me. This is something that didn't exist before. I mean, it existed, but it was not the norm. Nobody was going to do it. If I said, I can't be there, just turn on your computer, I'll meet with you, they would have thought I was nuts. They're like, we're not doing that. That's not how we do things here. But now it is how we do things. So I can still, I can make calls. I can use my computer. So that's backup plan number one, just for anybody who cares. That's backup plan number one, go virtual in what I can do virtually.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I can't do it virtually, then I guess it's not happening that day. Just like old school, you can't be at work. You can't be at work. Nothing I can do about that.
It's true.
Dude, season 5, episode 1, I thought was great. It was not as long as I would like, but it's time for us to punch out. You've got an Apple Core. An Apple Core. Big Eddie likes apples, doesn't he?
I think so.
Actually, Eddie could be the name of a female as well.
Could.
So I shouldn't give Eddie a gender.
Non-specific. Just Big Eddie. Big Eddie.
Okay, dude, we'll have a great rest of your weekend. Have a great week as well.
Yeah, you as well, dude. I'm sure we'll chat soon.
I'm sure. See ya.
Peace.